I read a few verses to you from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and beginning at verse 1. On page 921. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to human beings. I just had to lead and preach at another service over at St. Margaret's for one of the city's livery companies, which was a very different type of service to the one we're having here now at St. Mary's. We sang two verses of the national anthem. We sang "I Vow to Thee, My Country." We sang the type of hymns many of us know and love from yesteryear. And it's always wonderful to engage with them again. I love them. I had "I Vow to Thee, My Country" last night at St. Margaret Lothbury at the local Harvest Festival. This morning, Chris was quite adamant we weren't going to have it here on a Thursday afternoon in case we didn't have the words on the screen. But it was marvellous, really, because it was an 11:30 service and people began to arrive at 9:30. I wasn't altogether ready for them at 9:30, but of course, being the Church of England, I just said, "How wonderful to see you. This is the most exciting thing. 2 hours. Help yourself to some coffee in the kitchen," was the best that I could offer them. Had they come only an hour later, I would have been totally ready. And the extraordinary thing in this passage, which I only noticed last night, and I'm just about to be really pretentious, but I know both James and Chris will give me a hard time for this afterwards, and one or two of others of you will send me an email giving me a hard time in the afternoon. That's all right, I apologize for it now. But interestingly, one of the things in this passage is that phrase translated here in verse 2, "Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat." The original gives us a very different indication of what was happening. Just lovely that you're taking photographs. That's wonderful. Good. And a great indication of what was happening. What actually was happening is some men were bringing this man to Jesus. It sounds so sordid in our English versions. The reality, though, was very different indeed. You can imagine it, can't you? Those friends of that man had heard that Jesus was going to be in town. "That's it," they said. "That's exactly what we need. We're going to take our friend to see the Lord Jesus and get all this paralysis sorted out." It's perfectly clear that this man hadn't been born paralyzed. There'd either been an illness or an accident, and he'd found himself totally paralyzed. He must have got desperate as the years went by, and certainly his friends must have got desperate too. Everything changed in a moment when that paralysis came. All his hopes and all his plans and all his ambitions. But his friends had remained faithful to him, in spite of the fact that everything changed after the man became paralyzed. And that day, they decided that something had to change. They were determined to bring him to Jesus. They were desperate about his situation. but actually he had clearly resisted. He'd obviously tried things before, as had the man and woman with the issue of blood. He was probably afflicted by a certain amount of desperation and disappointment that nothing had really worked out for him. He probably resisted this extra effort. I don't think I want to go through this, he was probably thinking. I don't think I want to be disappointed again. I prayed about it before. We've done everything we can before. But actually, I'm not going to do it again. So instead of it all being sorted, they were still carrying him and persuading him and trying to encourage him that it was going to be quite different this time when they brought him to Jesus. And the sense of the original is they stumbled over the Lord Jesus in the street. They just came across him. All that they'd planned couldn't happen. It was obvious what they wanted. And Jesus, quite unexpectedly, looked at the man and said, "Be of good cheer, son. Your sins are forgiven." It was an enigmatic response, not what they'd either wanted or expected. But Jesus saw the deep problem straight away. He knew what was really wrong in the life of this man, and he spoke into it directly. That's why he could then go on and say, "Get up, take your mat and go home," using the word not usual in normal conversation for get up. It was the word that Christians began to use regularly 2 or 3 years later to describe the resurrection. And Jesus was saying, "Your sins are forgiven. And now you're going to experience the life that God has always intended you to experience. You're forgiven and free, and there's a new life beginning." Now then, not being totally sorted, not being totally ready, not being there and everything organized, is part of the life of being in the city. Everyone here is under a lot of pressure. Time is valuable. Things aren't always sorted out as they should be. And through this obscure Greek bit of grammar, Jesus is saying, "That doesn't matter. We'll bump into each other. And I will then begin to address what's stopping you experiencing all that my Father has planned for us." And his invitation today is, "Let me speak to you. Let me sort things out, and let me bless you."